Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty. Dalt runs this show and Phillip's on the phone. And good morning, Corey. How you doing, pal?
Good morning, Coach. Too blessed to be stressed. Always a pleasure to join you on the Prep Sports Report. 52 weeks out of the year.
Coach Mark Lasseter, how you doing, pal?
I am doing fantastic. Another beautiful day here in Mobile County and Baldwin County. Just, you know, it's always good to wake up and attack the morning.
We want to welcome all of our listeners along the way at WYEA 106.5 in Sylacauga, the Big Yay, and then, of course, the beautiful, beautiful Lake Martin area on the lake, WRFS 105.1. On Radio Alabama, we appreciate you guys being on board with us. I know everyone in that central Alabama region is hot and heavy to see football get started, and I know a lot of the ladies getting ready for volleyball, and we got cross country coming up, and well, I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of these children are out working mighty, mighty hard, and this heat has been intense, and I certainly hope you parents will be mindful of that and encourage these children to hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. And I know coaches are telling their kids in the weight room each and every day and on the practice field as they go through 7-on-7 and OTAs and things like that to hydrate. There's plenty of fluids available on practice fields. It's not like it was in the 60s and the 70s, guys. I can promise you that, when you had to go find a piece of paper or something that had rainwater on it and slurp out of that. There's plenty of fluids available. And, Mark, as you well know, there is no secret about trying to keep kids hydrated today. And it is of utmost importance to each and every coach that coaches football all over the state of Alabama. Hydration, hydration, hydration.
Absolutely. And one of the things about hydration is that is just as important as hydration at home. When they leave practice and they go home, to make sure they drink the right stuff. They're drinking plenty of water, plenty of Powerade, Gatorade, whatever your choice of drink is, but make sure you're drinking plenty of fluids, not carbonated drinks, not tea, things of that nature. Drink things that, you know, drink water, drink Powerade, drink Gatorade, drink the things that you need. It's going to replenish your body from the stuff that you lose at football practice and workouts. But eating is another big deal, you know, making sure they eat properly at home and get good meals so that that'll help them in hydration when they come back. But, you know, that's the biggest, one of the biggest things we talk about every day at football practice. Make sure you hydrate. And there's always water at practices somewhere, so you can get it.
And, Corey, a lot of people don't understand this, but we got a lot of kids in that gym playing basketball as well. And when you go from outside to inside and you're running up and down the court and you're doing all the things that you're doing on your own now, those kids need to be reminded as well that hydration is important. And I can promise you this, basketball kids are constantly running. Football players, it's a situation where you play a snap for 15 seconds and then you rest for 10 or 15 seconds. But basketball is constant, Corey, and so hydration equally important there.
Without a doubt, Rick. And with that being said, you look at the situation for the many athletes across the board. This week I had the opportunity to see many band members practicing and getting ready for this football season, as we're less than 26 days away from the opening kickoff of high school football. And hydration is just key. We can't emphasize that enough, and that's why we've started off today's show speaking on it, because it's not only for the young people, it's for the coaches as well, because heat stroke is not immune to anyone. It doesn't hide from anyone. It does not discriminate from anyone. So, again, just make sure all you coaches and athletes are taking the precautions, and like Coach Lasseter said, making sure you hydrate prior to getting to practice. That's the most important time.
You know, Coach, one thing before we get off of that, if you don't mind, there's Listen, this relates to the folks up in the Childersburg, Sylacauga, and Talladega County area. In 1994, there was a football player at Lincoln High School, tremendous football player, running back, linebacker, who had, you know, was trying to do all he was supposed to do, taking his hydration. Practice was great. It made it no problem. After practice one day, some boys decided they'd go down to a pond not far from the house or a small lake and go swimming. And they got out there and got swimming around, and he kind of got out there by himself, you know, swimming a little further out. And they were not doing anything wrong, but he got a cramp.
Yeah.
And my understanding is he just cramped up and couldn't swim. They couldn't get to him, and the young man passed away there in the water, you know, right with his friends and everybody. And it was a freak thing. Yeah. But it all goes back to hydration and kids being smart and careful about, you know, it may not be the smartest thing to do to run if you've not had enough to get in water. You know, nobody would think about that. You'd think, oh, man, getting that water will replenish me. Well, it may, but it's not getting in your blood system. It's not inside your body. It's not inside to where you'll keep you from cramping. And, you know, it was a horrible, horrible day. At Lincoln High School, I think it was 1994, Rick, and I cannot remember the boy's name. I know that he was a tremendous football player, but that was that just hit me as we talked about hydration.
I can tell you this, that was Alan Brooks. It was a football
Alan
coach
Brooks was
there.
The coach.
He sure was. And I can tell you this, that was a tough, tough time for Alan Brooks there at Lincoln High School and that entire Lincoln community. And that was, I remember that well, because Alan is a native of Sylacauga, played for Tom Calvin at Sylacauga, and was a tough little running back, Mark. And I'm going to tell you, he was a guy that built that program at Lincoln and did a great job there. And that was something that, as a matter of fact, Alan, they went through a whole lot of tough times as a result of that, because that kid was so popular and it was such a devastating blow to that community. So at thank you for reminding me of that. It's been a long time, but that is exactly right. You can't run, jump in a lake, swimming pool, your whole body will cramp. And when your whole body cramps like that, Encore people, boy, I'm going to tell you, we are blessed to have people like the Encore people that support our high school programs around here, have trainers on site at about every high school in our listening area. You folks in Sylacauga and the area around Lake Martin, if you don't have a trainer, if you don't have someone on your staff, then shame on you, because you absolutely have to have a trainer there on site. Some teams even have doctors that are at their practices. I know when Rush was at Hoover, he implemented that program where there were a couple of doctors that were always at his practices. And I'm sure that that's something that is still carried on there at Hoover. Steve Savarese was huge on that when we were at Daphne, Mark. I can tell you there always had to be trainers on site. There always had to be someone there that was qualified to do everything that needs to be done anytime an injury or heat stroke or anything. Corey, you brought that up. And thank you for bringing this up about the band members. I don't know if y'all know this, folks out there, but those band kids are out there from early morning until late afternoon. Now, they take a break, I think, in the middle of the day, but those kids are out there 8, 10, sometimes 12 hours a day, and hydration is so, so, so important there. And while we're at it, cheerleaders as well. Those young ladies probably don't spend as much time conditioning and doing all the things that the guys do, but when they're out there, they're in that heat, and it is imperative that those young ladies in cheerleading squads, whether it be middle school, high school, whatever, they be hydrated as well, guys.
I mean, Rob Milam, the trainer at Spanish Ford, has saved a couple of lives when it came down to heat stroke situations and overheating. And with all the training that he has, it just goes back to reinforce what you just mentioned in having that trainer on site and being able to get the player or the personnel to an ice bath very quickly and knowing how to respond in a heat crisis.
You know, something that's near and dear to our heart here at PSR is this. And not only do we want to talk about hydration, but we want to talk about AEDs as well. And that instrument, that piece of equipment saved the guy to my left's life. And I truly believe that. I believe that with all my heart. And I had a conversation with a local attorney this week and the manager of his building. And there's going to be AEDs in that person's building very soon. I bet you I'd be willing to wager that that's going to happen. So an AED, if you don't have them, you doggone well better get one, because the guy to my left, a guy that I love like a brother, we all do, he's here because of that. We'll be back with more PSR right here on Prep Sports Report on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, Alabama.
Premier Motorsports communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to PSR. And I got you there, Doc. That's the first time in a long time. Sorry about that. A lot of talk on the Eastern Shore, guys, about St. Michael's. And, boy, I was in a conversation with of course, eating lunch, and some guy sitting behind me. You know, I'm the loner. I know a lot of people and got a few friends, but I'm that guy that sits by himself most of the time when he's eating lunch. And I happen to be eating lunch and listening to a group of guys, and they had already introduced and said they listened to the show and how much they enjoy Mark and Corey. And matter of fact, Dalt, one of the men even said, a local attorney even said, you know, when Dalt's on there, it's just vibrant. I mean, it just jumps out at you. I said, well, thank you for that. I said, that's nice.
He's got that personality.
He does. He does. And I told him, well, we wouldn't have a show if it weren't for Dalt.
But, absolutely. He better be vibrant.
but they were in a heated discussion. I mean, it got a little heated about the damage, as they use the word, that St. Michael's would bring to the McGill-Tulane athletic program. And I don't think it's going to bring any damage. I just really don't. I think it gives a lot of kids an opportunity to play games, whatever sport it is, guys, that ordinarily might not have been able to play. You know, there's going to be some guys that are living across the bay, and they may go to St. Michael's and get a chance to play because they're not so far down the depth chart as they would have been at McGill. So I think it's a great situation, and Scott Phelps has got his hands full, guys, as they move into 3A, playing you guys at Bayside, Thomasville. I can't even imagine Thomasville now dropping down to 3A. But T.R. Miller, you look at those teams that St. Michael's has got to play, and I think it's a great thing that we've got a Catholic high school over across the bay on the Eastern Shore, right outside of Fairhope. And while I didn't get in that discussion, Mark, you might be surprised, you and Corey, to know that I kind of just listened and tried to gain as much information as I could. I think it's a good thing, and I think it's just going to give a lot of children the opportunity to compete in athletics.
I agree with you, and I'll tell you one of the reasons. If you look at the kids that came out of Christ the King that would go from there to McGill-Tulane, yeah. If I'm a parent, I'm not crazy about that, because I got to transport my child across the Bayway or the Causeway every day, or they have to drive themselves. I don't think I really want that if I can help it. Logistically, it's kind of a problem. And so is it going to hurt McGill? No, I don't think it's going to hurt McGill. I really don't. I think that St. Michael's starting a school there is one that in time is going to be a really good – it'll be a good fit in that area, I do believe. I think there's a, you know, we have a large contingency of Catholics in our area that believe in that theology, and I think it's fantastic that they have their own place to go to school. Yeah, you know, I really do. It's a good place. The school is beautiful, and it's going to take some time. Now, when you start a brand new thing, first, you know, and one thing that I've even thought about at Bayside, you know, Bayside's been playing football since 2000, I think. I think D.D. Thompson was the first coach in 2000. Well, do you realize that there's really not any All right, UMS Wright, how many times have you seen a dad's kids come out, a dad that you knew a few years ago whose kids are playing now, or a granddad who played ball at UMS years ago, same at St. Paul. Those schools, are they have a history.
Yep.
There's a little bit of legacy there. Bayside doesn't have one yet. We haven't got there. We haven't been alive. That program hadn't been alive long enough. Neither has St. Michael's. And it's going to take a little time to get there, but they're going to do – Scott Phelps is going to do things right. He is going to do things right, and he is going to work his kids hard, and they are going to be prepared every week to play. So I just think it's a good fit, and for St. Michael's have a football program there, but it is going to take a little time, you know, and it's just the way it is, and it's hard to bring a new child into this world and teach him right in 3 years so he can go out and compete. So I think it's something that those folks are going to work really hard to do.
The St. Michael's program started in 2016, and they did bring in Coach Phelps. But you look at that region, the 3A Region 1, Bayside Academy, Excel, Flomaton, Mobile Christian, T.R. Miller, and Thomasville. St. Michael's has 42 players on the roster currently, and you know, having 42 kids, that's a benefit just from a numbers standpoint, even though a lot of the smaller classifications and even larger classifications play their best athletes both ways. And that's a situation that I know Coach Phelps is facing. And they're going to play their home games at Fairhope's Volanta Park. And that's important for that community to have the excitement around playing a varsity schedule, whereas last year they only played one varsity contest. Now they're getting their feet wet. Florella was their only varsity contest a year ago, but you open up at Florella again, and then you turn around and you have the Thomasvilles and the T.R. Millers at the beginning of your schedule. You hope that the Cardinals can come out of that healthy. That's the biggest thing that I know Coach Phelps is worried about. But there's a lot of excitement built in that St. Michael's program right now.
And, you know, what they're doing right now is they're trying to raise money, if I'm not mistaken. They're trying to raise money to build, what, a football arena, a stadium. And, of course, anybody that wants to contribute to that certainly can call St. Michael's. They'll be able to give you the information that you need from there. But they've got to have a football practice facility on campus. They need their own stadium, of course, and that's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of money. And I'm sure the Archdiocese will help them with that. But at the same time, it's the genesis of a program. And it's tough. And Corey, you made this example. You use this example. It's something that we have – it's been a thorn in our side for a long time. It's kind of a burr, as my daddy used to say, that really bothers me. The situation that occurred years ago at Spanish Fort, when Barry Gibson came in there and did and did and did and gave and gave and gave and worked and worked and worked, and they only gave him a year or two to get that program where I can remember he used to practice over behind Daphne, one of the elementary schools in Daphne, go back and forth every day. And the foundation that he laid there, I still believe this with all my heart, the foundation that Barry Gibson laid at Spanish Fort was the genesis for that program becoming what it has become. And I think people that really know the program realize that. I get tickled every time I'm around my buddy Tim Cockrell. Such a positive man who has given hours and hours and hours and hours of his time to that program at Spanish Fort, and is always positive. Every time I talk to him, it's always something positive about the program at Spanish Fort. Well, that's what St. Michael's has got to have. They've got to have a bunch of Tim Cockrells that spread the word, that do it the right way, that do everything they can to help the program within the boundaries of the rules of the game. And you just got to have those kind of guys. And Tim Cockrell was an integral part. I mean an integral part of getting that program going at Spanish Fort. And the thing about Tim Cockrell is he did it with integrity, and he did it honestly, and he was doing it for the children. And I mean that. That's exactly the kind of people that St. Michael's has got to have. And hopefully down the line, Mark, as you well know, you've got to have those kind of people in your program that can help you and do it the right way.
Well, you can't lose your program at the dinner table.
That's
right. To me is the biggest thing that we have. And I'll be honest with you. Kids are going to come home and go, "This is wrong, and I didn't like that." Kids are like anybody else. and something happens to them, they don't like what happened, and they so then what happens to us as parents, and I'm including myself in this. I got boys, I had them come through and play, so I understand. But at the dinner table, no matter what's going on, the coach and the program need support. Right. And it's like, yeah, hey, we're not going to talk like that around this table. We're going to do it, and this is the way we do things, and that's, you know, yada, yada, yada. And then we go, if we have a problem still, the parent can then call the coach, say, Coach, I need to talk to you about something. Can I spend get a few minutes of your time? That kind of thing, if you think it's important enough. But negativity can kill a program. It'll just kill it from the inside out. And if it doesn't, if negativity, I mean, Ann Schilling said this the other day, she goes, you know, in everything that I do, I want to have learned over the years is I want to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good way to say it. And, you know, the best way to handle that is if a young person, a young man, a young woman's got a problem, let that young person go to that coach first of all.
Let them
help. And then if they can't work it out, then mom and daddy can get involved.
Teaches independence.
That's right. It sure does. Hey, we're going to be back with Chase Smith, the head football coach at Robertsdale, right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha.
Segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Hey, welcome back to PSR. And you can text us at 251-343-0106. That's statewide. Statewide, nationwide, you can text us. 251-343-0106. You can call us. We're not caller generated here at PSR. Never have been, never will be. But the reason that is we got three of us in here that we talk enough. I mean, we don't have to have phone calls, but we certainly want to give you as much information as we can give you. And we certainly enjoy your text, and we'll answer each and every one of them over the air as much as possible. And so 251-343-0106, Rick, Corey, and Mark here. Dot's on the board, Phillip's on the phone lines. And we got a young guy now that has taken the head football job at Robertsdale. And Mark, you know, you and I have made stops in our coaching journey that, you know, just kind of feels like home. Years ago, late 80s, Chuck Anderson called me and asked me to come to Robertsdale. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, it was some of the best times that I've ever had coaching because of the people in that community and the kids that played football for us. And I'm going to tell you, Robertsdale is a special place, holds a special place in our family, and always will. And Chase Smith is really in a great location because, to be honest with you, it's a program that's been down for quite some time now, and there's mountains to climb, but it's a great place to climb those mountains. Chase, good morning, pal. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Coach. How are you?
Well, I guess we say it the way Corey says it every Saturday morning. We're way too blessed to be stressed. But
Ain't no doubt. It's good to hear you. I haven't heard seen you in a long time.
Well, you're better off for not seeing me, I promise you. But we sure had some good times on the road, I can promise you. Of course, Chase was a part of Joey Jones' staff there at South Alabama. And, of course, we traveled with those guys for 5 years and had some great times. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, it's a great group of guys. And I think of each and every one of you, and I stay in contact with most of them. But, of course, you guys did a great job there. But now you've taken on this a yeoman's task, to be quite honest with you, at Robertsdale. And I was telling a little story about a restaurant I was eating the other day in the same place. I walked out, and a former football official who's a graduate of Robertsdale said, Coach, I am so excited about what's going on over in Robertsdale, and tell me about this young guy. So we had a little talk for about 5 minutes there, and he said, well, I am so glad to hear that. So you got people excited about what's going on over there, pal.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And that was one of my goals coming in, you know. And first off, I think you said it, but you hit the nail on the head. You know, it's a special place. You know, I've lived in this county for 10 years, and I've always felt like Robertsdale is kind of a hidden gem. It's a place full of people that have been completely supportive. They support the kids. They support all sports. And they give back, and it's a great place to be. I've felt nothing but welcoming and support from the community, the administration, the city, and all the above.
Coach, when you look at the situation, you were hired in late February to become the head coach at Robertsdale, and you had a little bit of a learning curve being the athletic director as well as the new head coach, but it's a situation where the past at Robertsdale, unfortunately, they went 0-10 last season, and you know, they have only won three games in the past 3 years, so changing that mentality each and every day. I know you mentioned in your press conference taking baby steps, just forward, going in the right direction, not looking back and looking forward was very important to establishing the new culture in your program. Where were you in the spring, and what did you learn about your team in the spring and the 6 months you've had an opportunity to be there in Robertsdale?
Well, I think anytime you come to a new place and you take over a program, no matter what the past was, you want to put your spin on it. You want to create your culture, your mindset. And that was my goal. I knew all of spring we had to set a foundation, and really in the weight room of what we do, because I believe all programs are built in the weight room from the ground up. And I just evaluated the kids' mindset, you know, who they were personnel-wise, all that good stuff. But, you know, I really wanted to start with the basics, you know, tucking your shirt in, looking you in the eyes, yes or no, sir. And that's the program we're going to set. You know, the wins and losses will come, you know, and those things will come and go, but we're going to focus on what we do daily, and my goal was to create a culture of winning and competitiveness every single day in everything we do, and I want to be consistent. These kids have to be consistent on who they are every single day.
Talk about the additions on your staff. I know you came in and you had former defensive end Craig Sanders that you added along with Dakota Beaudry and Mo Mitchell. How important was it to surround yourself with a great coaching staff and guys you could trust from the ground up as well?
Well, I think you just said it all, the trust and surrounding yourself with people that are like-minded like you are, and bringing energy. And that's one thing I wanted to do, is I wanted to bring guys with energy and the same vision that I have for these kids. And I've done that. I mean, these guys are – I've got a fantastic staff. We have a fantastic administration with Coach Joe Sharp. You know, he's a Robertsdale guy, and that's something important to me is some, I got to get some guys that have been great coaches but also have ties with Robertsdale, because that's what I wanted. I want some guys that have tradition here, that have been there and know the people, know the kids, and I want the kids to, you know, I want to create a Bear family from the ground up, and I'm tremendously excited about the staff that I've gotten.
You know, Coach, is the question I wanted to ask you that always is important to me as we look at people going to new places, new coaches, and new areas, is when you get to a place like Robertsdale people, the alumni folks, the people who live in Robertsdale are passionate about the Bears. They just love their school. They love their team. They love all the programs that go on there. What do you do, and what do you look forward to tapping into that resource of the folks that just love that program? And have you felt a sense of the community in that, about how much they love the Bears out there in Robertsdale?
Oh, there's no question. You know, even my first day, I mean, I was just overwhelmed with the support that's coming by my office, wishing me luck, excited. I mean, we've got, if I have a parent meeting and I'm asking for donations, I'm asking for this, it's flooded in the weight room every day. It's people that are taking their time to come by and support these kids. From the mayor, from Hoss Mack, from Corner, from local business owners that are just lending their support, taking time out of their day. You know, it's real special to see a guy who's running a business. I know he's very busy. I know he's earning his living, and he's taking the time to come speak to the kids, come donate, give back. And when people come by in this community, they look you in the eye, they say, "I'll do anything to help, anything I can do to help," and they mean it. And when you have that, it's a special thing. I think the kids really feel that too. I really do, and that's what makes Robertsdale special to me.
You talk about the kids that you're leading. Tell us about a couple of the seniors or a couple of young men that have really grabbed the bull by its horns and have taken your personality and your assistant coach's personality and blended it into their teammates.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, and that's what we're building is a senior-led team, and they've really taken the reins by the heart. I mean, they've got to build it. They got to build a trust with the coaching staff, like you said, and the rest of the team has to learn to be led by these leaders. See, leadership is leading, but it's also being led, and that's something I've seen this team grow with. But some great seniors, Robert Barnett, safety, comes to mind. He's been a great leader for us. you know, he's returning on defense. We have two linebackers returning. Chance Coleman and Colin Laird are coming back. Dylan Parnell's a defensive end for us, doing a great job. Bryce Coleman is another defensive end for us. Charles Jones, the right tackle, coming back, is a great leader on the offensive side of the ball. He's a senior for us. Demetrius Stallworth, playing receiver for us, has done a great job. Romero Settles, corner, returning. He's a senior. And Christian Akins as well as a corner. These kids really have stepped up and taken the role of having the whole team buy into what we're trying to achieve, because if you don't buy in as a team, it's not going to go anywhere.
Coach, we have about 2 minutes left with you. You're in 6A Region 1, which some people consider the toughest region in the state of Alabama. You have your first couple of games on the road at Mary G. Montgomery and then at Blount, and then you finally get that first home game against Gulf Shores. Talk to us about the region you're in.
Yeah, I know, and I think that's something that we talk about a lot, the SEC of high school regions. I think I've heard it before, but you know, I think that excites us. You know, I think it's very competitive, and that's what you really play the game for. You play the game for those top-notch athletes, the really intense competitive games. And if you're a true competitor, that's what you're looking for. That's why you do all the sprints in the summertime. You lift weights year-round. You're doing those things to be at the top level of play and see how it goes and see what we can do. And I feel very good about it. I think the kids are excited. And I'm looking forward to week in and week out going against some of the best talent in the state of Alabama.
Well, there's no question about it. 6A Region 1 is the SEC West. There's no doubt about it for high school football. And it's something that a lot of people don't look forward to as fans. But I can tell you as coaches, I know that you relish the idea of being in a competitive region like that, because it doesn't do anything but make you better. Doesn't do anything.
That's right.
That's all it's about. Well, Chase, first of all, I hadn't had even a chance to congratulate you on getting the job. But second of all, I'm excited for you. I'm sure there's an enthusiasm there that you bring that everybody's excited about, and we certainly are pulling for you here. And I'll always end it with this, because I say it all the time to my friends over there: Go Bears!
And, go Bears!
That's right, buddy. You take care.
And best of luck to you, Coach.
Hey, I appreciate you guys, and thank y'all for what y'all do for our sport.
Take care, Chase. That's Chase Smith, the head football coach at Robertsdale High School. And I'm going to tell you, everybody that coaches, I hope, has the opportunity to coach in a location like Robertsdale. It is something that will change your life. It will in a very positive way. Go back so many years and think about so many people over there. He mentioned a couple, but you know, I can just name name after name after name when you talk about coaching in Robertsdale and the people and the passion that they have for those Bears. It's an amazing, amazing community.
And I agree with you, Rick. 100%. And I'm really hoping that program and coach can, and those kids will buy in, and community buys in, coach can bring that back and get that team back over the hump a little bit. It does nothing but good stuff for the school and the community and the area and the region when all of our teams are more and more and more competitive. And so just look forward to watching and see what happens there, and wish him the very best of luck.
Well, got to give him plenty of time. Corey says it all the time. You got to give this guy plenty of time, and 5 years to me is the minimum. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 Mobile, Alabama.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report is presented by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR. I get tickled a lot of time. I got a good friend named Herb Winches who used to do the sports up in Birmingham, and former Jacksonville State football player, and really just a really good guy. As a matter of fact, he owns a restaurant now on Lake Martin, and we kind of hang out there sometimes when we're there. And Herb used to say, he said, Rick, you know, he said, the hard thing to do is to do live television, because you just fly by the seat of your pants, and you just hope that nothing changes while you're reporting what happened a while back. Well, here on PSR, and Corey knows this as well as anybody, because we've done this a lot of years, we fly by the seat of our pants sometime, and when Joe Gottfried sends us a message, we usually try to hook up with Coach Gottfried as much as we can because he's got the pulse of what's going on in Mobile. And today there's a really neat thing going on out at the fairgrounds here in Mobile. And Coach Gottfried, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Coach.
I love hearing you with my buddy Lee all the time, and I know that you keep him on his P's and Q's, and I really enjoy that. Just know that. But this morning there's a special thing going on out at the fairground for some underprivileged children, and I'm sorry that we did not get this information earlier and so we could have promoted it, but we got it today. So let's talk about what you guys have got going on out there at the fairgrounds.
Coach, I appreciate it. It's called the RAIN Group. They were a group formed by members of the Booker T. Washington Middle School, and they've stayed together over the years, headed by Monique Henley. And this is the third annual day, and it's a day to provide uniforms, underwear, socks, backpacks, school supplies. Coach, you wouldn't believe all the school supplies for underprivileged kids that do not have school uniforms. And it goes from 12 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And it's free food all day. And there's also an area, if people are listening and you've got some ailments and you don't have the finances to, you know, go to the urgent care doctors, we're going to have plenty of doctors and RNs that have volunteered to give health screenings, physicals, examinations at no cost. It's like going to urgent care but not having to pay. Then for recreation, we've got the Mobile Sports Hall of Fame members, Cleon Jones, captain of the Miracle Mets in 69. Ben Harris has won 5 state championships. And Bayside Academy's Ann Schilling has won 21 state championships, 15 in a row. They'll sign autographs, and then they will do a little clinic. And then, Coach, we're going to have a combine like the NFL does. And it'll be a 10-yard dash, run by cones, a vertical jump, a broad jump. And then if they pass that, they get their picture taken in it's unbelievable when you take a look and see what we're going to do. And then we give a certificate, but it runs from 12 to 5. So any of your listeners are listening, and if parents are listening and you do not have a school uniform, we've got plenty of them. And please come out. And anyone, adult or young person that's looking to get a health examination, it's all free. Everything is free today, Coach.
You know, when we're talking to Joe Gottfried, former athletic director at the University of South Alabama, and who has given and given along with his brother Mike, they have given and given and given to Mobile and just continue to give and to do. And in my mind, they are the movers and shakers for those that can't. And I mean that truly. They have just continued to keep giving and giving and giving along with both of their wives. It's just been an amazing, amazing gift to the city of Mobile. But, Coach, I think the thing that really hits home with me is this. There are so many people out there who can't afford to go to urgent care, who can't afford to find out what's wrong with them, and they're hurting, and they're ill, and they know it, but they don't have insurance, and they're scared to go to the doctor. Today, the opportunity is there, and because of people like Monique Henley and her group from the Booker T. Washington group, they can come to the fairgrounds today between the hours of 12 and 5, and you can see a medical doctor, and he will evaluate you and give you hope for what ails you. And at the same time, you're going to be providing uniforms for those children who don't have the means by which to have a uniform to go to school. What an amazing, amazing day this is for so many people, whether it be children or whether it be adults.
Coach, so you explained it so clearly. And it's all headed and started by Monique Henley. And I'm telling you, Coach, I've been around people all my life. She's got a heart of gold. I've never seen anyone like her that gives back. And, and her RAIN group that grew up together in middle school, Booker T. Washington, they stayed together over the years. And then when they got into position to give back, this is the third one that is being done in Mobile. Last year was my first experience with them. And, Coach, I stood at that line, and I watched the moms come up with their child, boy or girl. I saw tears, that they had their uniforms. This year now,
more equipment is giving out is going to be given out.
Coach, I mean, again, it's the Love You Day. Come on, America, dress up, put on love. It's a day of love and unity. That's going to be held at the grounds today, 12 to 5, where they'll have free health screenings, giveaways, cash prizes, and free food. Again, that's the Love You Day at the grounds from noon until 5 o'clock p.m. If you're looking for school supplies, if you need school uniforms, if you need socks and underwear for those kids going back to school here in a couple of weeks, you can get those at the grounds today from noon to 5. And Monique Henley and her group also does this in Opelika, Alabama, and Birmingham, Alabama. So it's not just here in the city of Mobile. She gives back to the entire state of Alabama, does the RAIN group, and this Love You Day is an outstanding day to do that.
And Corey, it's indoors. Everything is indoors, and it's air conditioned. So last year we did it at Langham Park, where, you know, it's in the high 90s, but this year it's all inside. So, and we'll have greeters there that'll show the people when they come in as exactly where to go.
Coach, on that, what is it, just, is that how they find it online? Is it just Love You? Is that how they find it, or is there an address to go to?
Yeah, Love You Day.
Okay, Love You Day. That's where. So, that, folks, you can go on there and look online and find out the details. If you missed any of it in our show, Love You Day, and it'll tell you everything to do. Go out there and be a part of this wonderful, wonderful experience.
Yeah, let me explain to Regina Benjamin, who served as the 18th United States Surgeon General. She's endorsed this, and Vince Dooley, former football coach of Georgia, they both have endorsed this Love You Day.
And both are natives. Regina Benjamin's a native of the Eastern Shore, and, of course, Vince Dooley is a former McGill-Tulane athlete, and, of course, those people certainly carry a lot of weight when it comes to making recommendations, and I can assure you that they wouldn't put their name on it if it wasn't something that was very, very positive. I can assure you that. So, Coach, that is at the fairgrounds here in Mobile from 12 to 5, and if anybody doesn't know how to get there, you can call us at 251-343-0106. We'll help you get there. Anything we can do. And, Coach, if you will, let us know about this next year a month in advance, and we will
Coach, I'll do that. I apologize.
Well, no.
No.
Don't apologize.
We appreciate you getting us out, Coach.
Words out. We appreciate you. Hey, take care, Coach.
Got a lot of listeners. They've got time today, 12 to 5.
Thanks, Coach. Take care.
Take
Be
care,
safe.
Coach.
See you soon. It's Joe Godfrey. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Ain't no wind blowing down here in South Alabama right now. I can promise you there's just not any blowing. All my buddies on the golf courses this morning, boy, you better be drinking plenty of fluids. And by that, I mean water. That's what you need to be drinking, because it is a scorcher today. And after church tomorrow, guys, I'm going to head down to the beach and going to play some golf down there. And Mark, by the way, we've got a guy that we're talking to about getting your set of clubs lined up. I meant to tell you that.
Awesome.
So we're working on that, so you'll be on the links with us pretty soon. But if you're outside today, please make sure you're hydrated. You're listening to PSR, Prep Sports Report, and we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in Mobile, Alabama, and we are presented by the good people at Alpha, and you can catch us all over the state of Alabama on Radio Alabama, especially at the Big Yay, 106.5 in Sylacauga, Talladega County, and the Lake. 45,000 acres of Mark Lasseter and ours. Most, I mean,
it sure is.
It's the place that we want to be. I can promise you that. That's WRFS 105.1 right there in Alexander City, Alabama. Guys, we want to talk a little bit about SEC football in a few minutes, because, of course, during the season, we certainly spend a lot of time talking about Mark's favorite team, the Crimson Tide, and My favorite team, the Auburn Tigers, and we even spend some time. Of course, Corey's an Alabama fan, too. All of y'all know that. Of course, Corey is a strong advocate of Nick Saban. And, of course, what is this? His contract now goes to what? 2025. That's amazing. That's amazing. Most well-deserved contract of any coach that I can imagine. I know of, Mark.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, hey, you know, we were talking a little while ago about laying a foundation. You know, you have to lay a foundation. Anytime you go into that, you lay your foundation and, you know, you build it on whatever you believe in, and then you go from there. Well, he built it on a certain deal he called the process, and the process is not something that just lasts. Basically, what I've been able to say about that thing is it's the next moment.
Yeah.
The process is the next moment. You know, and it works, and he has a – outlined it, and you can't go back and look at where and say, well, he didn't deserve it, because if anybody does, he has done it. He has won many, many football games and national championships, and he does a lot for people. Yeah, that's one thing I think we have a tendency to overlook. He does a lot of things for folks, and you know, and Tuscaloosa's become his home, and you know, all of us Alabama fans are extremely happy about that.
Well, there's a couple things we need to clean up in high school sports here, and want to do that, and then we're going to talk a little Alabama football, and then we'll get on to the Auburn Tigers. And we got to talk a little bit about Tennessee for Dalt, because I know he's excited about what's going on in Knoxville. At least he should be, even though the things that are coming out of Athens right now aren't the best thing for Tennessee fans to hear, because of course, Coach Pruitt's catching a little bit of flack coming out of Athens. But we'll talk a little bit more about that as we move into college football. But, you know, we talked a little bit about St. Michael's. We hadn't talked a lot about what's happening at Davidson with Fred Riley. Of course, we don't get involved in that controversy. Corey, as you well know, Fred Riley was at Media Day this week. He's full, you know, he's full throttle ahead to coach Davidson football this year, and should be a I'm expecting Davidson to be pretty doggone solid.
I am too. I mean, you're 7A Region 1, to where Coach Riley's had a lot of success, and he Ben Thomas right out of the chutes asked him about the situation that's ongoing, the pending litigation that's ongoing. He said, "I cannot talk about that. I'm here to talk about my football team moving forward from this day forward." They had an OTA, an all-season training activity with St. Paul's this past Thursday. They're excited about football. You look at the leaders of this team, his kicker Joe Montano, who's an outstanding kicker, his running back Colby Blunt, who had over 1,000 yards rushing and probably ran the ball 25 or 30 times a game last year. They're just excited. They're focused on football, and they're going over to Mississippi to play in their first game, and that's against a high-quality team that made the semifinals a year ago in the state of Mississippi. So Fred Riley, again, and his Warriors team are just looking forward to getting out there next week in the pads and helmets and getting ready here within the next month to play somebody else besides themselves, because we know they didn't have a spring game. You know they've been lifting and working hard, but those young people at Davidson are resilient. They're looking forward and are moving forward for this 2018 season.
And of course, we don't get involved in that as far as that, the what's going on with Davidson and the litigation. But I can tell you this, there were several Mobile County Public School System employees that were there to monitor that press conference.
Yeah, there were several. And I think that Fred Riley addressed every single question that was asked to him by the multiple media members who were there. He said, "I'm here to focus on my football team. I cannot comment on the pending litigation," and that was his consistent answer each and every time he was asked. And he was focused on the young men that he's coaching here in this 2018 season.
It's going to be exciting to see what's going on at Citronelle, too. Of course, Principal Randy Campbell made a change. He dismissed. I say dismissed. Rusty may have resigned. I don't know what happened up there. But I know this. Rusty Funk is a heck of a football coach. And he did everything he could to bring Citronelle back to the days of the Massey days at Citronelle. For whatever reason, Randy Campbell and the powers that be made a decision to make a change. And that change is Jason Barnett, who came there 3 years ago. Jason was, if I'm not mistaken, Jason was at Baldwin County. I'm pretty sure he was at Baldwin County with Coach McDaniel. And he came there 3 years ago, and he's been named the interim coach now at Citronelle. And so that'll be, we'll follow that. We'll see how that transition takes place. Of course, Rick Cawley going over to BC Rain now. Former Murphy head coach, went down to Gulf Shores for just a minute, and then came back and took the job at BC Rain. Of course, Telly Stone has moved over and joined Kenny King's staff there at Daphne. So we'll keep up with that as well. But a lot of things going on. Of course, our buddy Bo Smith is retired, Corey, as a baseball coach over at Theodore. 17 years there. And it's hate to see Bo step down, but Bo's going to step in, I think, to administration and do some things administratively.
Going to do a wonderful job, and that's going to be a great job for someone to inherit. And to get. It's a program for 17 years since these young kids were in diapers. That's all that they knew. His current roster, and as he turns over, wish him the best in his administrative endeavors. But so much going on in the offseason. His school's about to start here in 2 weeks. And I know Ben Thomas wrote an article about it yesterday. But Jamarcus Russell coming back to now be the quarterback's coach at Williamson. I've known that for a few months, but haven't been able to publicly comment on it. I think it's a great situation, not only for Jamarcus Russell, but also for the Maysville and Williamson community, because Coach Dedrick Sumter has done an outstanding job of assembling a staff of former Lions, such as Antonio Coleman, and does his special teams as a strength and conditioning coach. Also now Jamarcus on his staff. He has a solid nucleus, and Coach Sumter's been able to take his program each and every year and go in the right direction, even with small numbers. Here it is now, they've dropped down to 4A, but they were a 5A program playing 28, 27 guys, and that's hard to do. But I think Jamarcus is really going to benefit from being around the guys, and the guys are going to benefit from being around him.
I think that's a great thing. Anytime you bring folks home, it's good. And that's what we were talking about a little while ago about legacy in schools.
Yep.
Of having people come back and help out and that are a part of it, alumni. That place means something to them. That's a big, big deal. You know, Rick Cawley, I wanted to tell you all this. Man, I saw him at the conference last week, and we just chatted for a second. But I said, "You doing okay?" And as, because I know, you know, Rick's gone a couple jobs here, there, and yon, and kind of moved around a little bit, and he's gotten to BC Rain. And I said, "Coach, you doing okay?" And he said something to me that reminded me of what we do this for. He says, "Coach, next week I get to go coach kids. I love coaching kids." And I went, "You know, that is simple and true, and that's the way it's supposed to be." And you know, I hope that things work out for Rick there. But you know, that message reverberated to me. You know, what my job is coaching kids.
There's no question about it. And Rick Cawley will certainly do a wonderful job at BC Rain, that's for sure. Hey, folks, out in the western section of Mobile, you're going to see the Raw Dogs out there. They're going to play for another national championship. That's a baseball team that covers most of Mobile and Baldwin counties. Give those guys a dollar or two every chance you get. They're trying to raise enough money to go defend their national championship there. The Raw Dogs, kind of like the old, what do we call it, American Legion teams. We'll be back with more about the SEC and SEC football right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
I woke up this morning and the sun was gone. Turned on some music to start my day.
All right, welcome back to PSR. You know, it would be a wonderful thing if our listeners could sit in and listen to what is talked about in breaks. Mark Lasseter
what?
Can make a boat float on land. Holy cow. I swear. All right, we'll get to talking about Alabama here in just a minute, but we're going to talk to David.
That's probably what I'm talking about.
I know he's not cooking Kaneka sausage, and I know it's too dead gum hot, and I know he's got Charlie to...
Is he cooking Kaneka?
No, he's not cooking Kaneka.
No, wrong. I bought a hot plate for in the car lot now. I took it inside.
Okay.
Too hot to grill.
You know what? I'm going by there to get me some Konecka as soon as this show's over.
Come on.
I'm coming down there. I love Konecka sausage.
You can check out the party bus. I've been waiting for you guys to come pick it up one night.
There you go.
Corey's can drive it. Corey's. We got Corey. Yeah, I could drive it. I can drive it. I'm licensed.
You still got your CDL?
Yes, sir.
Let's roll, baby.
You should see Rick running that carpool.
I think they about fired me from carpool.
I have watched Rick run that carpool, and I have said that is an amazing feat that guy doing right there.
It's very entertaining moving all those.
I think Doug Barber said get him out of parking after 12 or 13 years.
That's true.
Well, you can't take my voice, though. That's the only thing. That's there. Tell us what you got, buddy. Tell us what you got at Premier.
I have a lot of cars. I've got a $2,000 car. I got a $38,000 car, and I've got everything in between. And if for some reason I don't have what you're looking for, I have it to you in 2-3 days. It's that simple.
That's amazing. And now tell us where you're located.
We're in Creighton. We are right at the split with Moffitt and Spring Hill, 3150 Moffitt Road. You can get us at PremierMotorsportMobile.com. We're on Facebook. You can call us at 251-338-9019. And come middle of August, we will soon be a U-Haul dealer. So
there you go.
Golly.
Buy your car and rent your U-Haul.
Buy your car, hook it up.
Start a new life.
All right, buddy. David, have a great day.
Take care, David. I'll be able to see you a little bit.
Thanks for all
you
do.
See
you
soon.
That'd be a heck of a no. You buy a new truck, hook it up to your U-Haul, put your house in it and move and take off. You get all of it wrapped up in one day.
One-stop shop.
You got to like it.
All right, guys. And we got Scooter on the line, but let's go to Scooter real quick. Scoot, we got just a minute here, pal. I want to talk to you and see what you got going on, buddy.
My question to you is, Rick, what was the first Southeastern Conference football game you ever heard on radio?
First one I ever heard on radio, it goes all the way back to John Forney and Doug Layton in the early 60s, I guess, or whenever. I don't even know if it was the 60s, whenever it was, but it was John Forney and Doug Layton.
They were great, weren't they?
They were great. They were great. Of course, John Forney was a great play-by-play guy. Doug Layton was a B.B. Comer graduate from Sylacauga, and all of us Sylacauga guys.
I thought you were going to say the first college football game you ever heard was Billy Kenneth punt return.
No, I didn't hear that one. My daddy talked about that, but I didn't hear that
one. I tell you what, Tiger Stadium was never louder.
Yeah, it's always loud.
Ole Miss offside before the punt. Can you imagine if they called LSU for clipping?
Yep.
Those referees would have never gotten out of Tiger Stadium, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that was tough. You're right.
LSU had the Chinese bandits defense.
That's right. That was Charlie,
Paul Dietzel.
Paul Dietzel and then Charlie McLean.
My question to you is, Mark, who was Ole Miss's punter? Cannon ran the punt back. Who was Ole Miss's punter?
He ain't got
I have
clue.
No clue.
Tell
Jake Gibbs.
Jake Gibbs, the catcher for the New York Yankees. Did you know that?
Yeah, he replaced Yogi.
He did replace Yogi. That's good stuff.
No, he didn't replace Yogi. He just filled in after Yogi retired. Well, you don't replace Yogi.
Well, no, you don't.
True.
You're right.
That's true. That
What's is your trivia, Mark?
You know, Scoot, Rick's got it this morning. Look here. Rick said he's got it. He just held his hand in. So I'll be quiet.
Julio Jones. What high school did Julio Jones play
for?
Didn't
he go to Foley?
That's good. He did. Scooter, it doesn't matter if it's high school or college.
I'm surprised that he's wanting to hold out with the foul.
No, he's not holding out. That's over.
Yeah, hey, Scooter, let me ask you a question. On that Foley football team, there were two other guys that played for the University of Alabama just a little bit after Julio left. Do you know who those guys are?
I have no idea. You stumped today.
Robert Lester and DJ Fluker.
Yeah.
They were all on that same
team.
When
I think of Foley, I think of the snake.
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah, I guess so. Running that wishbone.
And Lester Smith was his coach, wasn't he?
Yes, I think he was.
Yep. He was. He sure was.
Give us that pump, Scoot.
Woo!
Take care, buddy.
Have a good weekend. God bless y'all.
God bless you.
God bless you too, Scoot.
What are you talking about? Corey, help him out.
Was that
Kenny Stabler never ran the wishbone.
No, I
never.
Didn't see.
I thought they were running it at Foley then.
I thought they did. They did.
No, that's right. That was before.
Before that. Come on.
Okay.
I thought you said
I made one mistake this year.
That's the only one you've ever made. That's right.
Well, I made one earlier. I thought I had made a mistake, but I really hadn't made a mistake. So the thought that I had made a mistake was wrong.
Corey, can Alabama win with either one of these quarterbacks?
Yes, they can. I think that they've proven that. And I think that with the plethora of wide receivers that Coach Saban and his staff and Coach Locksley, the new offensive coordinator, are going to have, the two quarterback system is going to be in effect. And as much as people don't want to hear that, in the first game against Louisville, I think both quarterbacks are going to take snaps and there'll be a package installed for both of them.
Yeah, but Mark, is a two quarterback system, is this going to cause a divide on that football team?
It depends on how they handle it. It can. We've seen it work. I saw it work years ago with Stedman Sheely and Jeff Rutledge. I saw it happen then, and it worked. We've seen it happen and work. It just depends on how it's handled. I just think you're going to see a different way. Alabama winning over the last couple of years. I've watched them play. I watch them play every Saturday. They won with defense and a great punter. If you really want to get
down,
you want to get down to it. How many times did we watch last year where the other team would punt the ball and put Alabama inside the 20-yard line? It went on every week, it seemed like. And so they didn't get out of the shadow of their goalpost, but the guy who could turn the ball game over, he flipped the field, was the punter. I mean, he would bust that thing and kick it all the way down the field and put the other team back, and then they would play great defense. And, I think those are the things they have. They have great players on offense, but I think the defense is what swallowed everything in the kicking game. This year it's going to be different. They don't have that great punter. We don't know about the punter yet.
Yeah.
There's a new kid. Defensively, they lost I think they lost 7 or 8 starters off of a very, very good defense. But offensively, they got some talent. And I think you're going to see a different way of winning. You'll see a lot of points scored on by Alabama offense.
Well, you start off with the defensive line. First of all, they don't have nearly the depth they've had on the defensive line. They've lost several linebackers, so they're going to be hurting depth-wise at linebacker. But I'm going to tell you this, Corey, you know this better than most. It doesn't matter if you lose a linebacker at Alabama, you got one who's probably just about as good, equally as good, to step in. And so I wouldn't be too concerned about losing a linebacker here. That's a depth situation. But as far as playing ability, that's not going to hurt them. They'll put somebody out there that's just as good. And I'll tell you this, there's nobody in the SEC that has more talent than Alabama. Nobody. And another thing, and nobody's got a better head football coach than Nick Saban.
Correct.
And when you put those mixtures together, I'm going to tell you, they're just going to be too doggone good.
I agree. I mean, Dylan Moses, and you look at Markell Benton and Josh McMillan and Ben Davis. That group is going to have to grow up in a hurry, but the thing that separates Alabama from the rest of the country and the rest of the college football playing world is the development of the players. You can have somebody sitting and waiting in the wings, and when their number is called and when it's their opportunity to shine, they are ready. And I think that's the thing that separates Alabama from the rest of the college football world.
And they've always had, on defense, to go back to the Nick Saban start, they've always had that linebacker who was the quarterback on the field. Rolando McClain, Dante Hightower, C.J. Mosley, last year's guy,
Rashawn Evans.
The other guy got hurt, remember? Hurt his knee.
Terrell Lewis.
Sean Dion Hamilton. And now this year is going to be Mac Wilson. That's who we look for to be the bell cow on this year's defense. They've always got that guy in the middle who's like the cap. But I will tell you who they're going to miss is Minkah Fitzpatrick.
He's a play caller.
No doubt about that.
I mean, held them all together over there.
I thought he was the best player on the field.
There's no doubt.
I do. I thought he was the best player on the field. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Auburn. Alabama is trying to defend their national championship. Auburn, on the other hand, is trying to defend their Western Conference title. So it's going to be interesting.
Pretty stinky.
We'll be back with more right here on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, Alabama.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Okay. Welcome back to PSR as we go around the SEC.
Sorry about that.
Mark's commentary.
I got excited on that. I love linebackers.
I'm telling you right now, especially the boy from Georgia. I'm going to tell you right now,
man.
He was some kind of player.
He was fun to watch play the game.
Yeah.
And we were just sitting here, Rick. I'll challenge all of our listeners to do what Rick and I can't help it, because we love coaching. We love offensive linemen. I watched offensive line. I like to watch them more than the play. If you watch that, that? That's where the real fights are.
Ain't no doubt.
That's where the ball game is. Them son of guns get down there. It's one-on-one every play, and it's a lot of fun. Anyway, I know we're going to talk about a little Auburn Tiger football.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Auburn because they're trying to defend the SEC West, and the biggest question mark on Auburn's offense is right up front, where it all begins, just like you were talking about. And, you know, we've got three or four guys up there that have started. Mike Horton started some. Markel Harrell started a couple of games. That guy, Prince Tagovailoa, he started a few games. But we got to find some people up front that can win in the Southeastern Conference. And hopefully Caleb Kim can come in, Nick Broms, maybe at center. So, we just that's where Auburn is lacking a little bit. But I'll tell you this, the thing about Auburn is, of course, we struck out twice in Atlanta, of course, we opened the season in Atlanta. And it's going to be interesting to see how well we play against Washington, who I think that's going to be one of the premier games of the entire season, is the opening game there in, I guess they still call it the Chick-fil-A, whatever they call it, but it's Auburn versus Washington. And, of course, Washington is picked by many to win the Pac-10 or Pac-12, whatever it is now. And so that's going to be an interesting game. And then we come back against Alabama State, which should give some of the kids a little chance, a breather, to maybe get healed. But I think the big question for Auburn is on the offensive line. So, I don't know where you are with it, but I'm thinking Jared Stidham is one of the best quarterbacks in the Southeastern Conference. And he's got a year under his belt. He understands Gus Malzahn's he understands his system. My question is that going to be Chip Lindsey's job to flip the coin, call the plays, whatever, or is Gus going to be involved in it? That's the $64 million question to me.
I agree with you. And I think it's hard to do. Either you got an offense coordinator or you don't.
Yep.
That's just the way I look at it. I mean, it may not be right, but I think, the head coach, if he wants to be the offense coordinator, he needs to call the plays. He needs to do it.
Yep.
If he hasn't hired an offensive coordinator, then he needs to do it. Now, the head coach says, Coach, think about running this play.
Yeah.
Or he makes a decision. He is the game manager. He's the one who actually manages the game about decisions that need to be made. Stidham is a really, really good football player. The key for Auburn, in my opinion, their offensive line will be fine. They'll be fine. They always do. You know what
That's who we lost. We lost everybody up front.
But see what they have done. If you watch back in the past, look at the history of Auburn football in the last 10 years or so, about 8 years, when they have a great line and they have a really great season.
That's
the
true.
Next year, they lose. They have a tendency to lose them in bunches. If you notice that, they lose a bunch of players. But they bring them in, the next group, and either one or two things will happen. Those kids that are saying, okay, nobody believes in us, we believe in ourselves, and we become a unit, and we play great, and they do a great job. Or if they don't do that, then they're really going to struggle. I think Auburn does such a good job with their unity and the family atmosphere at Auburn. I think they'll be inexperienced, but I think they'll be okay. The thing that Auburn's got to get back to is that running back. That guy who runs the ball and just hits it downhill, it makes everything else go. It just does. And a quarterback can run and throw with a back who could bang it up in there and hurt him. I just think that's a key.
I think one of the keys for Auburn, to me, looking at the Auburn Tigers this season, are going to be a couple of things. The biggest thing is Auburn must replace the SEC's all-time leading scorer in kicker Daniel Carlson.
Good point.
You have your long snapper and your holder, which is a total transition that Auburn lost. So you're trying to replace a guy who you knew was automatic when you get to a certain range or the game was on the line. That was Auburn's go-to guy in Daniel Carson being the SEC's all-time leading scorer. On the flip side of that, you look at Auburn defensively, and right here, Vigor High School's own Deshaun Davis, he's going to be the cog for that Auburn defense. He's just a congratulations to Deshaun being named a Butkus watch on the Butkus watch award. Uh-huh. I think that speaks volumes of how he's grown and developed as a player during his time at Auburn. But the strength to me of the Auburn Tigers are going to be the linebackers. So, you know, along with Deshaun Davis, you look at K.J. Britt and Montavious Atkinson, Chandler Wooten. I think those guys are going to have an opportunity to make some noise also.
Do they have everybody back? Is Carlton Davis back?
Yeah, Carlton Davis
is
back.
He's a tremendous player.
Yeah, and you look at their defensive line. I still call defensive ends defensive linemen, but you look at that and you look at Marlon Davidson, where from right up the highway here from Greenville. If I'm not mistaken, isn't Marlon Davidson?
That's right.
Because you remember a couple of years ago, he lined up at multiple positions against St. Paul's.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right.
Tried to score, lined him up at fullback or something. Yeah. Yeah, he sure did. That's exactly right. And then they got Nick Cole, who's a doggone good football player. I think that, of course, that's going to be the strength of Auburn's football team. I think the defensive line at Auburn, a little different from Alabama, I think the defensive line at Auburn is going to be the very best in the Southeastern Conference. I think it's going to be tough to find a better defensive line up there. You got Brown and Russell there. You got Nick Cole there. The one thing that scares me, I think, the most is we lose two quality running backs. We lose two running backs at Auburn, and I guess if we lined up and played tomorrow, Cam Martin would probably start at one of those running backs, and I guess we'd run a one-back system, I guess.
How big is Asa Martin?
Coming in. Asa Martin is coming in. He's one that everybody's excited about.
How big is Cam Martin?
Cam Martin is probably 5'10", about 190, 195.
See, to me, and I hope he does a good job. And I tell you what, he can run the ball. I just don't know if he can take that inside game pounding, you know, because that's where he's going to have to. Trey Mason, I mean, I remember Trey Mason taking that football. Yeah. I mean, man, when I was watching play Alabama, I was going, gosh, I wish Trey Mason would sit down. And then last year, Kerryon, Lord have mercy, he got hurt, and what happened to the team? Watch what happened to him after he got hurt in the Alabama game. All of a sudden, they were not nearly as effective.
Yeah.
Because he was hurt his shoulder. And he was just, I hated to see that for Kerryon because he had a great, great year. But he was not effective in the SEC championship.
Well, a lot of people really are excited about Asa Martin, and thank you for mentioning that. And of course, Malik Miller, the kid from Madison Academy that everybody was highly recruited out of high school. Jatarvius Whitlow, I think, is another running back that's in the mix. C.J. Tolbert. Cam Martin is definitely a home run threat, and he's a guy that can go. But can he carry the ball? He can't do what Kerryon did. There's no way he can run the football 15, 20 times a game. It's just almost impossible. Of course, now Daniel Carlson, if I'm not mistaken, his brother, Anders, he'll be in the hunt to be the punter place kicker as well now, if I'm not mistaken. He's a true freshman. He's a big kid, too. He's about 6'5", 200 pounds or so, and he's got a strong leg. So that's something that, you know, Auburn folks can look forward to. It's still a problem to me who's running the offense. It sticks out to me because it seems like, and knowing Chip Lindsey in the way that I kind of know him, I just don't think that Chip would take that job.
Unless he was
the guy pulling the strings. I just don't think he would.
It's too hard. I'm just telling you. If you're the offensive coordinator of a game, you're calling the plays, you just got to have the freedom to call the plays.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then you call, to me, you call handcuffed. And when you call handcuffed, it's like playing with one arm tied behind your back. It's just hard to do it. To me, it's not possible. It just doesn't usually work.
I agree. I think that you flip over to the other side of the ball and Kevin Steele. Again, they say defense wins championships, and in this Auburn team struggles offensively, they're really going to have to rely on Kevin Steele and his strategies. But Kevin Steele has said it. He feels very comfortable with this defense. We know how many returning starters Auburn has coming back off of this defense, minus Trey Williams, the St. Paul's graduate. But with that being said, I just really like this front three and four guys for the Auburn Tigers.
No, I think their defensive front is going to be outstanding.
They're going to be really stingy if they can stay healthy.
Because they've got about eight, if I remember correctly. They're pretty stacked in there.
You know, and I think it's important.
Absolutely.
I think it's and another thing I think is important. I think it's important for Auburn to beat Washington early. I think they need and Paul Lewis said this. One of our buddies, Paul Lewis, made this statement. He said he thinks it's really important. It's important for Auburn to beat a good football team early in the year and to kind of set the stage for that season. That sets the tone for the season to beat a good team out of the Pac-10.
I think they're going to win by 3 touchdowns.
It's going to be interesting. I think you had Alabama who faced Washington a couple years ago in the semifinal game, and I know it's a different team and a different makeup, but with Auburn Tigers, Rick, you mentioned it, one of the premier matchups on 9-1 at 2:30. That's just going to be a great football game. Auburn the next week has Alabama State, and then they're right into conference play with LSU. So they really want to establish an identity those first 2 weeks offensively and find themselves so they don't limp into the LSU game.
Washington's going to have to make it. They're going to have to change my opinion about that program. I have not thought that is a tough, hard-nosed, get-in-your-grill program. I never have. And that may have been at one time, but I haven't seen it. I've watched them play here and there last few years. I love their coach. Coach is a great
guy.
Chris Peterson's a heck of a football coach. I just don't see that.
I mean, Auburn's going to be tougher. Auburn's going to hammer the ball up in there. I just don't think for 4 quarters Washington.
Well, new coaches abound in the SEC. Of course, Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State. Jimbo Fisher, our buddy Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, it's going to be real interesting. Is Ed Orgeron the first one to go? Who knows? And then you look at Jeremy Pruitt.
I'm pulling for him. I'm pulling for Jeremy Pruitt
at Tennessee.
I really am.
It's going to be a super
season.
Much
as I don't like Tennessee, I'm pulling for Jeremy.
No, he'll come back with that off the air.
I know he will.
We'll be back with more right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile, the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, too many times in our lives, and I have been the world's worst at this at times in my life, is making judgments about things or decisions or people without knowing the whole story. There's a little story here I read that has been kind of pressed upon my mind. I wanted to read you and just see what y'all think about it. A 20-year-old boy was seeing out from the train's window. He shouted at his dad. This boy's 24 now. Shouted to his dad, says, "Dad, look, the trees are going behind. Dad, look, the trees are going behind." Dad smiled, and a young couple sitting nearby looked at the 24-year-old's childish behavior with pity. And suddenly he exclaimed again, "Dad, look, the clouds are running with us. The clouds are running with us." The couple couldn't resist and said to the old man, "Why don't you take your son to a good doctor?" The old man smiled and said, "I did. Actually, and we are just coming home from the hospital. My son was blind from birth. Today, he got his eyes to see." Every single person on the planet has a story. Just don't judge them before you truly know them. The truth just might surprise you. We don't know what goes on. We've talked about this on this show a million times about we don't know what goes on in other people's homes. We don't know where that boy who left football practice that day or that girl who left football practice that day, what they went home to. We don't know. We don't know the trials that they lived through to get back to school the next day. We've talked about this before. I know, Rick, and you and I have shared it about there are some kids who football practice, wrestling practice, baseball practice, cross country, that all those practices, that's easy. Going home is hard. And it's a part of that. We don't know people's story, and we have a tendency to judge. I do. I can't say we because I can't speak for anybody but me. I have a tendency to judge people before I know the whole story, and that's wrong. That is absolutely dead wrong. I want to know the story. I want to know what's going on, why someone does what they do. We don't know. We just don't know what people live through. So my whole point this morning is, as teachers, as coaches, as parents, as players, administrators, whatever you are, know the story before you try to make a decision on what the person is about.
You know, as we get ready to start a new school year, it's essentially a clean slate for a lot of coaches, a lot of students, a lot of teachers. And sometimes a reputation precedes you. And like you said, the judgmental value comes in from when a teacher says, well, I had that student last year and they were just a disruption to my classroom, or they were an outstanding student, and you just try to find the differences in a student's behavior. But it goes back to, as coaches, sometimes when you have an opportunity as coaches to see how a kid is living, part of the love you day that Coach Godfrey was talking about earlier, so many kids in the school system are homeless, and you wouldn't know that. So many kids don't have and are not equipped with a nutritious meal once they leave school for breakfast or lunch, and we take that for granted sometimes. So again, like you said, being blind and starting with a clean slate, I think it's so important, and not being judgmental and giving and having the opportunity to not only learn your students but your players, and the why behind each and every kid is so very important.
That's very well said, guys. I want to reiterate what's going on today at the Mobile County Fairgrounds. Coach Joe Godfrey is heavily involved with Monique Henley and the ladies there that have started and do it all over the state of Alabama. Today from 12 to 5 at the fairgrounds, children can come and get school uniforms. Those needy children. Now, this is not for children that whose family can afford to take care of all of their school needs. This is for those that are needy and the people that cannot provide for their children. This is a chance for you to go and get your children's clothes for the school year. Another thing it does is it gives people who obviously don't have insurance and are hurting or ill, they have an illness and they cannot go to the doctor because they have no insurance. And I know people that don't have insurance, and it breaks my heart. But at the same time, there's a place you can go today from 12 to 5 at the Mobile County Fairgrounds, and there will be doctors on site. Over 40 doctors have volunteered to come today, and nurse practitioners and so on and so forth, and they will help you get the medical attention that you need. And that is an amazing, amazing thing. Not only that, but you're going to have people like Ann Schilling, multiple state championships,
Cleon Jones,
Ben Harris, people who have made a difference in our communities here in South Alabama, who are going to be there to sign your autographs, to give you some encouragement. And let me tell you this, Ann Schilling is going through one of the toughest battles of her entire life, and she's given her day to day to go out there and to help those who can't help themselves sometimes. And if you get a chance, go by and meet Ann Schilling. She'll bless your heart, I can promise you that. Cleon Jones, what an amazing story that is, from the amazing Mets of 1969. And then Ben Harris, who took a program over at Blount and took young people, young men, and took them to church on Sunday and molded them into an amazing high school football team. All you got to do is listen to Sherman Williams tell his story. Of course, Sherman falls back on all of that after he went through some really tough times with the Dallas Cowboys, ended up getting himself in trouble, spent time in jail. But where is his foundation? It shows where his foundation was, because it came from Ben Harris, and he came back to that foundation, and now look what he and David Palmer are doing for the young people throughout the Southeast. And so that's all attributed to the foundation that was laid there from a great man by the name of Ben Harris. So if you get a chance, go out and support Joe Godfrey and Monique Henley, but most importantly, go out and support those children that do not have the means by which to have school uniforms provided for them. Now they do through this
the Rain Group.
Absolutely do. It's just amazing what these people have done.
I'm telling you, and tell you, if anybody needs an uplift in your life, find a way to get a hold of Ben Harris and just sit down and talk to him. You talk about a guy who's got a story. And it's not a story that he stands on a soapbox and tells. No. But, I mean, I was so moved that this man, back in the late 80s, early 90s, would have a way to go around and pick up kids in his school and his football team on Sunday mornings and take them to church.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. That is one of the most unbelievable stories. And I thought to myself when I heard that story, I said, man, I'd play for that guy. Mm. I'd play for him every snap. Mm. Somebody who cares enough about me to take time out of his life to come get me to take me to church.
Amen.
Because
that's it.
They may not have had another way to get there. And it may have been something that saved somebody's life. Man.
Great story. Great man. All right. Thanks for being a part of our show this morning. Remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. We'll see you here same time, same place next week. Prep Sports Report, 52 weeks a year.